going to be a little bit of a combination. So I'm going to weave in part of my testimony, because who doesn't like to hear a testimony about how God has worked in your life? And each one of us are so different in the ways that God's drawn us to himself that I always think it's a fun opportunity to let people get to know you and to see what God's been doing in your life. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that and just a little bit about my passion about working with children and you know, what I think Jesus' heart is on that. And then just maybe a little encouragement to each one of us here as we serve others, some reminders that might be good for us too. So when I grew up, I had a father who was a perfectionist. So whenever you did something, he would always quickly point out for you, like, okay, that is, you know, crooked. He was in construction, so, you know, that's crooked, that isn't right. You missed a spot when you painted, whatever. And my mother was just basically a critical spirit. So my mom would always say, like, why do you think you can make a quilt? You can't make a quilt. You don't know anything about it. I'm just thinking, well, just for fun, I'm going to try it out. It just seems like I'd like to adventure into that. So those two in that combination created a lot of insecurity because, as you can imagine, you first have your mom say, you don't know anything about it, so you can't do it. And then when you do it, then your dad's going to point out for you all the things you did wrong about it. And so, you know, that leaves you in this feeling like, I'm going to try to measure up. And the church I went to was all about rules, and that was very much about working your way to God. So you do these things, you don't do those things, and this is how God's pleased with you. So basically, I would say I was a hamster in a wheel. You know, I was trying, but never getting anywhere because the things were unreachable. So when I got into college, I met my husband, and he decided, hey, I'm going to ask her out. And some other people said, you don't even know if she's a Christian. You probably should find out if she's a Christian before you ask her out. So then, clearly, I failed the test of whether I was a Christian. No, she was not. And so he decided, hey, there's a Leighton Ford crusade, and I'll invite her to that. And then, you know, maybe she'll become a Christian, and then I could ask her out. Well, that's kind of a little bit of a subliminal kind of message going with that. But, I went, and so my husband-to-be is sitting kind of off on the side, and I ran into a guy that I worked with at the factory before I went to college, and so I'm talking to him, blah, 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 you know, through the whole thing. And I'm sure he's thinking, like, shut up, you need to hear this. Because he'd become a Christian since I knew him. But the whole time, I just talked through the whole thing. And then all of a sudden, I heard him say, and if you would like to be a friend of God, come forward. And I stood up, I'm like, hey, I've been wondering about that my whole life. So I shut him down, even though I hadn't heard a thing about what he heard about. I'm like, bing! I'm going to go see what's the story on that. So, which goes to show you, even when people are talking, God can break through that. And when I went down forward, they were talking to me about, you know, it's by grace that you're saved through faith and not of works, so nobody can brag about it. And I just thought, wow, that is really different than what I'd ever learned before. And then they talked about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, and I thought, yeah, and I've heard that a lot, you know, just about the shame of you don't live up to what is expected. And so I prayed with the person up there, and then so then they said, now we're going to talk to you about reading your Bible. And I'm like, what does the Bible have to do with this? That's just how I was ruling. I have to say, at my church, we didn't read the Bible. So I thought, well, how'd they get talking about that all of a sudden? So I kind of, you know, didn't connect all that together, let's just say. So I did connect up with some Christians at the college that I went to, and so they took me under their wing, and as I studied the scriptures, I began to understand that. And Joe invited me on a date the next day, so he wasted his time on that.
Wow.
So we've been married almost 39 years, so that all panned out very well. But one of the things that I came to learn is that God says, "Be still and know that I am God." That your busyness does not impress me. It's not about how much you do or how much you try to look right on the outside. It has to do with your heart. And I began to realize what it meant when Jesus said to come and follow him. And one of the verses that I treasured was Matthew 11. If you are weary, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. So if you're somebody who's had 18 years in the hamster wheel, you're ready for some rest for your soul. And I loved this about what Jesus said, that he wanted to give us an example, that he's saying he's going to be the teacher, and we can learn from him, and that he is gentle and humble in heart. And so I began to read the scriptures and understand a little bit more about what that meant. So, this has been, 42 years ago or something like that now. And it's still, I feel like every day God reveals a little more to me about who he is and a little more to me about his plan for the world. In Colossians 3:2, it says to set your mind on the things above and not on earthly things. So we have a place in God's plan. And he has uniquely gifted each one of us. And if you don't know that, it's really true. And if you're not sure what those gifts are, we will try to reflect to you what we see in your life so that you can be using those gifts even more effectively that God has given you. We don't want to worry about what other people have, like, "Oh, look, she has the gift of this. I really wish I had that," or "I really wish I could do this, like Brooke does over here. I wish I could do that, like Robin." Because it's not about comparing ourselves to each other. And it's not like, "This is the best gift, and then sorry you got the booby prize." Consolation. Okay, yeah. Strike that off of the recording. Okay, that slipped out. Well, anyway. So there's nothing that's going to be a lower value to the Lord, because he's designed it so that we all work together, and the body of Christ is everybody working together. So I'm going to read a passage. It's a little bit long, but I just can't cut it off because it's like every single part of it, I think we just need to say it. So it's in 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 14, and it says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less the part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, And those members of the body, which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness, whereas our seemly members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body. Individually, you are members of it. And then it goes on to list some of the gifts. But I was just thinking about that, that we're to be in unity. You know, that whole thing, if we were all eyes, where would the hearing be? You know, I mean, we laugh at it because it seems funny, and yet how many times have you seen some gifted person who gives a talk somewhere, and you think, gee, I wish I could do that, you know? Or somebody stands up and they sing a solo, and you think, oh, I wish I could do that. Because they're very visible. Maybe the person who's behind the scenes cooking and cleaning and doing these other things, maybe we're not saying, gee, I wish I could do that. We're probably going like, ah, yeah, yeah. That's probably what I'm called to be. But that it says that God has given us gifts as he designed it. And so it's not like what we think is the best thing, but what he knows is needed. So as we're in AHG, we have a body of believers. And if we were all the same, then we would have a lot of holes left over of things that weren't being done. But because we're all different, okay, for one thing, you're different, that creates a little friction, right? Now, see, I can say this because I don't really know any of you, because I know like three or four of you. But I'm not saying this like, well, you guys have a lot of problems with this. I'm not saying that. But I just know that as a Christian, I've been in situations where you get two people who are on one, the gift of mercy, one who's going to tell you exactly what they think something should go like. And right?
I don't know which one I am.
She might be a combo.
Salt with me later.
Yeah. Oh boy,
yeah, we can tell you.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. But you know that that we've all seen that sandpaper that can happen. That you begin to rub up against each other and it causes some friction. Now, it can turn into like a polishing in which you find out that sandpaper now has polished you so up and it's smooth sailing. Or it can be like a crack that happens and pulls you farther apart. And, you know, when I think of Jesus saying that he's humble of heart, I think that it comes back a lot to that, that I have to humble myself. It's not to say that my gifts aren't important to what needs to be done, but to also say, I don't have the same gifts as Jen. I don't have the same gifts as Amanda and Rose. We're not the same. We're different. And if we learn to appreciate that, all the better, because those things I'm not good in, one of them are probably going to be good in that. And if I sit around and say, well, of course, they're going to be doing that because they have that gift, then, you know, then instead of encouraging them to rise up and do it, it's like I'm putting them down because they're not the same as me. And we already said, where's the hearing going to be if we're all an eye? And then I thought about this. Oh, how funny. I have the minion bag that we put our names in. We're all an eye. Yes. like the minions, yes. Okay. That was a random thought, but I do like the minions. And purple, too. Just while we're talking about this. Okay, so in 2 Chronicles 20:20, it says, put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. And so I was thinking about that, just because I said I've had a rocky week, and I've just had a lot of ups and downs. Sometime we'll talk. Not right now, but a lot of things that have kind of rocked me to the thought of, God, do you really care? You know, do you really care that my life is really hard and that my kids are struggling and my grandkids are struggling? And that was the verse that I felt like God gave me this week, to put your trust in the Lord your God and you will be established. You know, don't doubt that. Just you've got to cling to God because he's going to take you through that. So as we're thinking about God being humble of heart, I just wrote down a couple of verses about God's heart for kids. And I know we have all different backgrounds in this. I've been a public school teacher, music, first grade, third grade, back to music. My passion has been kids from the public school. I have many friends in Christian schools. I totally support that. I'm just saying for my calling, that has been my calling. And I have watched some of these kids who come in with no support whatsoever and their families. I mean, I had first grade kids who got themselves up in the morning, had whatever breakfast they could find, dressed themselves in whatever was laying around, and brought themselves to school. And in first grade, nobody even got up to send them there. And I just have always felt a desire to stand in the gap for those kids and to be the light of Jesus in their life. And even whether our AHG girls are from that, or whether they rub shoulders with kids who are. The world is lost and hurting, and there are so many kids who have no one to be there for them. They have no one who notices whether they are there or not. And so what a wonderful opportunity that we could be there. I love the picture that Jesus gives us in Matthew 23 when he's talking to Jerusalem and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." And I used to hatch baby Matthew 23:37. And when I taught first grade, every year we would hatch baby chicks, and then we had the incubator and everything. And so, if you've never had baby chicks, that thought of gathering baby chicks is a lot harder than it sounds. Because you just think, well, you just scoop them up. No, you try to scoop them up. This one jumped off. That one jumped off. Now you're trying to get this one over here. That one got over. The other ones jumped out. Now they're pecking at each other because somebody has someone. And I look at that and I think, okay, you in your mind, you think, well, you just huddle up. Come on, guys. We're all going to be together. And I think our kids can be like that. You know, when you're trying to teach a lesson, they're all hopping every which way. You're trying to gather them in, but they're not, you know, tuned into that. And I think, what a beautiful picture that Jesus should choose to say the hen who gathers them under their wings. And that safety and protection. And I know, you know, jokingly I said today to Abby Riley, well, you know what? I think I've signed more papers than probably a presidential candidate to get this job. I've never in my life had so much criminal history and whatever. And then I said, but I know this. We want our kids to be safe. And if you can't put yourself under that, then you shouldn't be here. You know, if you're not willing to submit and say, I'm going to do whatever that takes because you're screening to make sure these kids are safe, then that's what we need to do. So the feisty little ones that we have, remember that Jesus is saying he wants to pull them under and tuck them under his wing. And he wants them to have that safety and that rest. And he wants them to know his love. And many kids these days don't have a father in their life and just, you know, as we were singing, you're a good, good father. That's what you are. And we are loved by you. And that's who we are. And know that we want the kids to know that they do have a refuge and a place that they can run to. and that God is not a harsh person saying, how disappointed I am in you. He's saying, come, I want to teach you. I want to teach you what it means to walk with God. And I'm going to be gentle with you. And I'm going to be loving. And I'm going to teach you humility as you walk this out. And that we have that opportunity to shine that light for our kids. The other one is Matthew 19:14. Of course, I have a zillion things. I'm like, okay, well, I can't talk 2 hours, so we'll have to pare this down a little bit. So I'm going to do one more. Matthew 19:14. The disciples are trying to get the kids out of the way. Go, go, don't bother Jesus. He's trying to talk to people, the important people. You go run and play. But Jesus says, stop. Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And I think, you know, I've taught Sunday school for years, and I've taught kids in school, and I just think, don't neglect the fact that you can learn from your kids. And spiritual things, you know. You think, oh, I have this lesson I've prepared for you. And then some kid prays something, and you're like, well, now we can just go home because that was better than the lesson I planned right there. Just hearing you say that or listening. You know, one time I had a boy in my Sunday school class, and he was sharing about his father was going to leave his mother. And so then he was never going to see his father again. So in my mind, I'm thinking like, okay, you know, I got to think about this. How are you going to explain this? And of course, kids are going to have questions about that. No, one of my other kids gets up and puts an arm around him, and he says, just because your dad leaves now doesn't mean that you won't see him again. He might come back. Oh. And I just thought, oh, sweet. You know, the sweetness of just saying, I'm going to stand there for you, and you can't believe this right now, but I can believe it for you, and I'm going to say that to you. Mm-hmm. So I think as we give opportunities for our kids to take leadership, whether it's praying for somebody else or whether it's coming along and saying a word of encouragement, that they learn that they too can have a ministry to each other, and that it's not always dependent on what the teacher says, but that I can give you a word of encouragement. I have three grandsons, and they're 16, 15, and the youngest one is 10. And the 10-year-old, he spends the night a lot. So in the morning when we get up, I'm having my quiet time, and he'll get out his Bible, and he'll read over here, and then I'll read. And then when he's done, he says, done. And then we share with each other about what we read and, you know, what did you get, which is always kind of fun because you get in the kids' mind of what they see. So he's reading about Jesus when he's fasting, and the devil comes to him and says, see those stones? Turn them into bread. You're God. Turn them into bread. And so Jackson seems like, why didn't Jesus do that? He was hungry, and he didn't eat for a long time. I think he just should have turned the stones into bread. And I thought, well, now see, that's a different way you look at that. Because I've read that story so many times, like, la, la, you know, he just breezed right through it. And I thought, well, how would I answer that? So I was talking to him, okay, well, let's look at the next part of this. And so he tells him to throw himself off of the cliff because the angels will come. Like, I said, well, really, it's because this, the devil is not the boss of him. Oh, well, you could get that because at school they say that all the time. You are not the boss of me. I don't have to do what you say. So, I said, I guess in a nutshell, the devil is not the boss of him. He does not have to follow him. But I just think, you know, having that opportunity to allow the kids to struggle with what they learn, you know, to ask those questions. But I think this, bingo, you are not just reading that like I do. You know, I've read it a lot of times. I'm on autopilot. I hear it, you know, kind of going, yep, 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 check, check, check. Yeah, that's how that story goes. But you see it through the kids' eyes, and you realize they're asking you a question because they're thinking about that. Mm-hmm. He's not just reading those words. He's saying this. Jesus is God. He could do that. He was hungry. I don't get it. And I think, you know, to just slow the pace enough to interact with those things and to get a fresh look at what the scriptures say as we see it through the eyes of the kids. So I just think it's a privilege that the parents are entrusting to you their children, you know, as they come to you each week. Some may be struggling at home and never saying that to you. You know, maybe kids having questions about their faith, never having somebody to sit down and say, why didn't Jesus turn that into bread? You know, maybe they're seeing conflicting things, you know. Maybe they're having my dad and my mom with them. That makes them feel like they never measure up. And they have a little window of time in which you are there to show them the love of Jesus and to have that humility in your heart and life that allows for the struggles that they go through and allows Jesus to shine through you. So that is my challenge, not just for you, but for me too. Humility. I don't think you ever learned that lesson. there's, and when you think you do, then probably, bing, that's a sign you really didn't. Now you're proud about how good you're humble. It's a circular problem. Yeah, so. Yes, yeah, so whatever we're doing, you know, as we're working together and as we're teaming up with each other and allowing those gifts to flow, and there's nothing wrong with saying to the kids, I don't know, I'm going to think about that. Nope, let me think about that as a speaker. Let me pray about it, or I'm going to try to find some verses to talk to you about that next time we get together. And maybe that means you call up me, your friend. Hey, bro, what do you got? Nothing? Robin, what do you got? I'm going to just keep on going around the circle until somebody gives me something that gets me started. Because we want to be there for each other. And, of course, there will be situations in which you're thinking, I don't have any idea how to handle that. Please come to us. We would like to pray with you about it. You know, we would like to encourage you, and if there is something that we can offer you in way of scriptures or anything that we might think of, we'd love to do that. So please don't feel like, well, that would be embarrassing to go up and say that. That's not embarrassing. I don't have every answer. My husband and Tom Camp used to be on a radio show, like the Call the Pastor. And they just call it whatever question they had in their mind. And my husband works in campus ministry, and so they do the stump the chump, you know, like ask me a question that I can't answer. I'm like, what are you, nuts? I would never in a million years. He's like, well, we have our Bible. And they're like, I am not going on the radio for that. So, no. I'll get back to you on that. Leave a phone number. We'll see what we can come up with. I'll call the gang together. see what we have. So I'm not saying that. Oh, call me because I'll have a ready smart aleck answer to say. But I am saying that, you know, I certainly would pray with you and you know, seek the Lord to see what we can answer. And so that's kind of me in a nutshell. And I'm looking forward to meeting everybody and getting to know you better and trying to be an encouragement to you as you minister to the kids. So thanks for letting me share that.
All right. Well, we're going to move into dessert time.
Oh. Hey, that's a good start. Right.
Now about a 15-minute break of using the